Before the lawsuits and protests, before the ground-penetrating radar and DNA testing, before we were stalked, and before the citizens of Jackson County tried to have me arrested, before we ever stuck a shovel in the red dirt of North Florida to exhume bodies, I stood in the women's restroom as the news media gathered in the large room outside and began setting up their cameras and checking their microphones and waiting for me to step before them and tell them what I had learned about the dead boys. I did not want to do this. I had spoken at a single press conference prior, years before, near a crime scene where I had been helping the local sheriff excavate the remains of a woman missing for 10 years. The sheriff's office wanted me to give the press briefing to deflect questions about the open homicide investigation toward the science of forensic anthropology, to tell the public what we were doing without saying anything about what we were doing. I can steel myself against unimaginable horrors, given my job, but reporters mean putting it all out there. I prefer to fly under the radar. I'm a forensic anthropologist, a scientist, an academic. I'm not a showman. I strive for accuracy. And sometimes forensic science takes a lot of explaining. I don't think in sound bites. A peer-reviewed and long-winded scientific explanation is not what the television news reporters want, though. They want short, chippy, quotable sentences with strong verbs and hard nouns. They want the coach jogging off the field at halftime, summarizing the play so far and the strategy for the second half. Here, now, I struggled with how to reduce a year of scientific investigation into a few punchy paragraphs to lead the nightly newscasts. They wanted me to address the mounting controversy around the clandestine cemetery on the property of the Dozier School for Boys, Florida's oldest state-run reform school in the rural panhandle town of Mariana, where we had been searching for the truth. That meant I'd spend the next day answering tough questions and trying to soothe hurt feelings. Not from reporters, though. From politicians, Mariana residents, university administrators, fellow academics, and lawyers. Facing the press, as scary as it was, would be the easy part. I looked at myself in the mirror. I paced. I twirled my fingers on both hands, two at a time in small circles, an old high school theater trick to help me focus. Thumbs first, then four fingers, then the middles, rings, pinkies. Over and over. 10 times each. I thought about how clean and gorgeous this bathroom was, with its granite walls extended to the ceilings. The bathroom cost more than our forensic anthropology lab's entire operating budget, and its beauty stood in such contrast to how I spent most of the past year, covered in mud and dirt. The door swung open, and Laura Wade, the University of South Florida's Director of Media Relations, entered. She asked me if I was hiding, and laughed. I just smiled, and then reached out and put the palms of my hands on the granite wall. It felt so cold. This was her idea, putting us in front of the television cameras. I'd invited two fellow faculty members to join our team, and they were gathering outside as well. Dr. Antoinette Jackson, a cultural anthropologist, and Dr. Christian Wells, an archaeologist. What was supposed to be 2 weeks of fieldwork for us and a few students had turned into a year of probing and research involving a growing group of experts across disciplines. Laura knew the value. This would be a big boost in earned media exposure for my department and the university. She knew how important it was to keep the ball rolling. If we wanted to help the families, we had to be out front. Laura had a calming effect. I trusted her. She started running through the details and rattling off a list of all the dignitaries gathered outside. She knew every reporter by name. Then she stopped and looked at me in the mirror. "You have 5 minutes," she said. "You got this."